Arrow Precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Arrow Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com.
You've made it through 3 hours of the regular show on terrestrial radio, and you wanted a little bit more, so that's why you found the Gun Talk After Show podcast, where we saved all the best things that we can't say on regular radio. Now, here's Tom, Michelle, and Jim for the Gun Talk After Show.
Hey, welcome to the After Show, where we gather together to say all the things that they don't let us say on broadcast radio.
What?
Jim and Michelle are here. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Michelle. Jim, could you hang up on Michelle for me, please?
That seems to be the going thing,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
What did you do? You hung up on our guest.
Oh, my gosh. Only after he hung up on you? No.
This is true. He did hang up on me during the show, during the live part of the show, yes.
It was not on purpose. And all I could do was, I was like, oh, my gosh. And then it just was... I apologize to him. And
I could hear you all the way across the studio. You're just howling when you got him back on the phone. It's like, oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry. I guess we're even.
You hang up on us, we're going to hang up on you. So there you go.
And then there's about a 60-second pause while we're waiting for you to get to him. I'm like, if I call up the wrong line or I drop him.
Jim's moving very slowly. Don't push this button over here.
Something in the air.
The buttons are right next to each other. You just reach up and like, oh, I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. And I look, I'm like, yes, I did.
Yes, you did. You just hung up on him. And Joel's going, these people, what is with these people over here? Holy
crap. Write that down. Last interview with Gun Talk ever.
Yes, so there goes Remington. Never to be heard from again.
Yeah, stuff happens.
Well, I thought Jim was messing with you when we were on the live show when you asked about 10mm ammo, and it went and to the busy signal.
Then it went to the dial tone, the busy signal,
like,
you think,
I
oh, Jim's
like,
messing with
him. Did we really just lose him?
No, I try not to mess with him during the live show too much.
Well, that's hilarious.
To a minimum.
Well,
it doesn't bother me. I'm just so used to being hung up on. I just go, oh, another one. Okay.
Chalk it up. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Hey, let's go talk with Kathleen.
Okay.
She's over in Nevada somewhere. Hey, Kathleen, you're on. What's up?
Thank you. I just caught your program, and this is the first time I caught your program. I'm usually on the road. So
oh, okay.
I felt
welcome.
Honored that I got in to talk with you. And I had heard just the very end about the enhanced concealed license. Can you tell me something about that? I carry permits in Washington, Oregon, Utah, and my Nevada one just expired because I haven't been back to be able to. Is it still required to take the class?
Okay, well, let's start off with, when we were talking about the enhanced, that was a fellow who was in Idaho, and so the enhanced permit is in Idaho. So that's
okay.
The permit we were talking about. So where do you live? Where's home for you?
Port Angeles, Washington.
Okay, so and you have a resident Washington carry permit, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
And then you must have non-resident Oregon and Utah permits as well.
Exactly. And I also had a Nevada one until March 2nd of this year. I need to get that, go back in and get that renewed.
Question for you. What is the benefit of having the Nevada if you have Washington, Oregon, and Utah?
Because I drive down here because I have a home in Nevada.
I understand, but doesn't Nevada honor your Washington permit?
Not too many states honor the Washington permit. All you have to do is go in and show your driver's license, and you get a concealed carry permit.
In Washington?
Yep.
Hmm.
Wasn't Utah the one that came out and they were supposed to allow all the reciprocity with the other states then? Wasn't
that
the benefit of Utah?
Yes, but some states, and I see, I'm looking right now, you're right, Kathleen, your Washington permit is not honored by Nevada. It is by Idaho, Utah, and Arizona, but not Nevada.
And Idaho basically says if you have a other permit, you don't need one in Idaho.
Right.
You can carry concealed or non-concealed.
Right, because it's a constitutional carry. Now, your Utah permit looks like it is honored in Nevada, but yes. I would have to double check because sometimes they will honor it only if you are a resident of that state. There's you may be familiar, there's a website called handgunlaw.us. It has all this information. It's singular, handgunlaw.us, not .com. And you just put in the states and it tells you all that stuff. Going back to your original question then, you are a Washington resident. You have a non-resident Nevada permit. And I do not know what the regs are there. If you're going to have to take another class, sometimes you have to take the class again.
That's what it has been all along since I got my first concealed carry. And I just didn't know what was happening in the last, well, since COVID.
Yeah, well, keep in mind with the COVID thing, like Michigan and Ohio, they're so backed up that even if your permit expired within the past 6 to 9 months,
yeah,
they're telling you, make an appointment, we'll waive that. So I'm not sure if that applies for you, but it might be worth looking into.
Okay. I will get some way or other, get online, and before I head back, which will be heading out on Thursday morning to head back to Washington.
Or right.
I enjoy your program. It's great.
I'm glad you, well, you know what, if you check, because we probably have a station in near you that you can listen to, because it's carried all over the country. If you go to guntalk.com, you can find a list of stations around the country. But I got it. Before you go, Kathleen, I got to ask you, how long have you had a carry permit? How long have you been carrying?
I've been carrying for about 14 years.
Oh, good for you.
And the follow-up question is, why? Did something happen that made you decide to do this?
No, my husband and I decided to do it because things were getting a little, let's say, time has changed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So, therefore, I carry, and I will continue to carry.
You do a lot of travel, I assume, by yourself?
I do.
Yes. Well, amen to you for...
I just lost my partner, which was a gorgeous 100-pound German Shepherd.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So,
And Kathleen, I would also suggest if you can't find the appropriate answer going online, you can always call the sheriff's department in the county that you are going to renew your license in, and they will give you the information that you need. They'll tell you if there's a grace period for expiration with COVID and everything. So I wouldn't hesitate to call somebody in that area either. The sheriff's departments are great.
Yep.
Where in Nevada?
Where in Nevada?
Are you in Vegas?
Lake Tahoe.
Oh, okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle's got it. Just call the sheriff's office when you get there and say, look, this is what happened. It expired. What do I need to do to renew? They may say, well, you know, just come on in and fill out your paperwork and we're good to go. Or they may, but they'll know exactly what you need to do. And might as well, I mean, if you're going to be there, call. I find, and Michelle, I think you're right on the money, I find sheriff's departments are very responsive, much more so often than police departments are.
Yes. Well, and then they're pro-carry for us, too. You know, they want their citizens to carry firearms.
Yep, yeah, most of them, yeah.
Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for calling. I'm glad that you discovered the show. And, you know, please continue to be safe, and I would encourage you to... It's not a bad idea to go back and take a renewal class now and then just as a refresher, maybe do a little more shooting.
Right.
It's a good thing.
I will do that, but right now I'm going to check and see if Gunsight is still doing their distant rifle class.
Oh.
Oh.
Very good.
Have you been to Gunsight?
Yes, I have, twice.
Oh.
Well, why am I even telling you what you ought to do? I'm going to shut the heck up.
School us.
I have the greatest desire. My husband had a custom-made rifle for me, and he had one, and he went out 1330, and I am determined to hit a 1330 target.
Ooh. You probably were shooting with Corey Trapp on the long-range course.
It was Corey. Yeah.
It was Corey. You know, you know what I call Corey? Santa Claus with a machine gun.
Well, you know, his wife is a very good shooter.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we know a lot of the same people.
Anyway,
that's great.
Where are you located?
Everywhere. I'm in, actually, weirdly enough, I'm sitting in Idaho, and Jim and Michelle are in Never Never Land. Also known as Ohio. And but yeah, we do this every week and actually do more than that. If you can't find us as far as a radio station, this becomes a podcast. You just look for Gun Talk and you can pull us down and listen to us every week. And we would love it if you would call back sometime and let's talk about some of the other stuff you're doing, okay?
Okay. Thank you so very much for answering my call.
Absolutely. Kathleen, thank you so much for your call. You continue to be safe.
Yes, ma'am.
And good luck with your next German Shepherd.
Yeah,
thank
really.
You. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
They're family, man.
I don't think we need to offer. We don't need to offer much in the way of advice there. I don't think. I'm thinking, why have I been even? I mean, I'm talking to the wrong person. She's been through classes at Gunsight. I'm going to shut up now.
Next week it'll be Kathleen's Gun Talk brought to you.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll just say, we have a question. Let's call Kathleen and ask her.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well, let's go ahead. As long as we're there, let's talk to Antonio in St. Louis. Antonio, thank you for your patience. How are you, sir?
Oh, no.
Hi.
Antonio. Michelle, did you push a button?
No, I did not. I'm not even near the phone.
But see, I don't hear any busy signal or anything, so I think he set the phone down.
Sandwich time over at Antonio's house.
I guess.
Okay. Well,
bye, Antonio.
That's okay.
Bye.
Hey, let's do this. Can we keep it? Can we keep it open and see if we can rope him back in? Or
sure.
Did you already hang up on him?
No. I'm just leaving it open now. I'm hoping he sneezes or passes gas or something. He can embarrass himself.
Oh my!
Nice.
Yeah.
Quality radio here. That's us all the time.
That's why we're not on the regular air.
Welcome to Flatulence Radio.
Oh,
God. And with that, I think we shall head toward the break here.
Good call.
Okay. And back, maybe. I don't know if they'll let us come back after that, but we'll see.
Introducing Kimber's Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice. All the attitude of the original, now in a 9mm subcompact that's like nothing else. Here's just a taste of what you get. A match-grade V-cut trigger, True Glow TFX Pro Day-Night Sights, the Stiplex front strap pattern, slide lightning cuts, and stepped cocking serrations. In other words, the Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice may be subcompact, but it's still big on performance. Find your new everyday carry at KimberAmerica.com.
Visit GunTalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's September Silence Giveaway. One grand prize winner takes home the CVA Cascade bolt-action rifle in 7mm/8, the Silencer Central Banish 30 suppressor, and $500 True Timber gift card. One first prize winner gets a $500 gift card to spend at TrueTimber.com. Enter now through September 30th at GunTalk.com/win.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless, black powder, and black powder substitute propellants, and the leader in reloading data for enthusiasts and newcomers alike through the Reloading Data Center. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
All right, we're back, and Antonio's not, so there you go.
But the line's open. I still want to hear
him. The line's open. So if he walks over and picks up his phone and says hello, well, he'll be able to hear him, okay?
Yep.
How's that?
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that. Okay, cool deal.
Well, I'll tell you what, if for any of you listeners that are going to be time shifting this, you know, listen to the podcast later, I'll just give you Antonio's home phone number, and then you guys can call him direct and see what, you know, what he wants. What do you think?
He has a range report on a Canic pistol, and he wants to tell us all about it, and we want to hear it, but there you go.
So okay, well.
It's just, you know, here's life in the podcast land, I guess. So. GT25, both of you have yours. Did anybody shoot one this week?
I have.
Yes?
Yeah, I wrapped out about 45 rounds through it.
Yeah.
No, you're supposed to shoot 10 millimeter.
No wonder it jammed up.
That's right. You just keep pounding on the back of that and get it in there.
And trying to find
it. Right here.
Yeah, and trying to find a mag that holds 45 rounds. It took a long time.
It's a drum, right?
Yeah, it's a 10 millimeter drum. It looks real good on the bottom of that pistol. I painted it blue. It matches the,
He has a little problem. He has a little problem with printing when he carries it.
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he's got a snare drum under his shirt.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you shot this bad boy again.
Yeah.
What are your ongoing impressions?
I think it's a. That's the best way. You asked me earlier when we were off air. I think it's powerfully manageable or manageably powerful.
Hmm.
It's got a lot, it's you're shooting a real firearm.
Yep.
But it's not like, oh, look at that snap. I can't control this thing. You get a good purchase on it, and it's a solid firearm, man. I love it.
It's not like shooting a 45 or a 44 Magnum.
Right.
Because
they're
just not fun to shoot, honestly.
Correct.
It bucks, but you can get back on target with it, I find. Were you shooting the, what ammo were you shooting?
Shooting SIG 10.
Okay. Yeah, that's good ammo.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't consider it, the high end, high power personal defense stuff. It's FMJ.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's not, I don't consider practice ammo either. It's kind of like in between.
I think, maybe you'll know Michelle. I want to say that SIG does a deal where their practice ammo, they design it to have the same recoil as their carry ammo, so you can go back and forth.
Yes, that's correct. I think Winchester also did the same thing, training and defense line, yes.
Right, okay, I thought so. So whatever you're experiencing with that training ammo, that's what you'd get with the carry ammo, from the practice to the carry ammo. I was just looking online, and I think, if I remember right, the SIG 10mm ammo is really set up probably more for personal defense as opposed to hunting. Because, I think people want to crank the velocity up a bit more when they do hunting, but it should be right where you want it to be for personal defense.
Yep. And it's FMJ, so I don't think I'll be using it for that. But
When I'm saying personal defense, you'd go to the...
When I go to the, right.
Their hollow point, yeah. Their, what are they called? The VTEC? V-Crown. V-Crown.
V-Crown. V-Crown.
Yep.
Was it V-Crown, E-Crown, right?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Some crown. I don't know.
Somebody could be hanging up on Michelle.
It's a crowning moment.
Oh, my gosh. You just want to be queen. I know. Where's my crown?
Right.
So there you go. Right, right.
It is. Oh, did you order a holster? Do you have your holster, Jim?
I requested my salesperson handle that, but I can only assume she ordered it. We'll get one someday. I'll call you, I think was the way she worded it.
In the meantime, if you have an extra spare sock, you can attach that to your belt.
It's a good look, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it is. It is. So there's that.
Well, that was just to cover up the drum.
In my lever action pistol.
Yeah, you got to get a Yaki slide. Coolest, simplest holster ever made for a 1911.
Yeah?
They really are, yeah.
They really are.
IWB?
It is outside the waistband.
Good, good.
It looks, it's barely bigger than your belt.
I say it's a leather strap.
It's basically a little bitty pocket that you slide your gun into, and it covers up the trigger guard, but that's all. The whole barrel is exposed, and the grip's exposed, and you got this little band of leather across the gun, right where
that's really all you need.
It's very basic.
It actually is all you need. Mm-hmm. And The only thing I would say is if you get one, just be aware that I haven't tried one with this pistol. I'm trying to think if I have. No, I don't think so. Front sights, because it's not inside of a holster, it's actually exposed when it comes up. Depending on the design of the front sight, it could hang up on the bottom lip of the Yaki slide holster. Does that make sense, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I tore the sights off anyway. I didn't like them.
Oh, good man. Yes. I've never known you to use your sights, so it worked out well.
He's like, front sight? Front sight, what?
What?
Based on my scores, you're saying that. I get it.
The other thing to be aware of, and I have had this happen with a Yaki slide, is they're cool and all of that. But when you sit down, depending on where you're sitting, chair, whatever, the barrel can push up on the bottom and it will just rise up in the Yaki slide. Because instead of pushing on the bottom of the holster, you're pushing on the muzzle of the gun and it just slides up.
I was going to say it puts out a battery, but it doesn't. It just knocks it right out of the holster.
No, it will just rise up. And obviously, if it went far enough, it could just pop it right out of the holster, which is generally disconcerting for those around you as it skitters across the floor of the restaurant.
Isn't they also refer to that as the screw retention holster, something like that?
Some Yaki slides,
street name, yeah.
Yes, some Yaki slides do come with a retention screw you can tighten up. But yeah, take a look at it. I mean, it's just one of those that they're not horribly expensive and they're pretty cool, and there could be a time. That would be a really good, Michelle, I'm thinking a Yaki slide would be a great barbecue holster. When you want to show off your pistol.
Conversation, yes.
Yeah, you're going to be open carry at a barbecue, your GT25, and people are going to go, what is that? Oh, yeah, that's my 10-millimeter GT25. Now you start the conversation.
So I tell you, I'm still excited over the fact that, yes, it's a year delayed, but the fact that it's not 2 year delayed. Honestly, because, I mean, the problem with these companies being able to get the steel and parts and... I mean, really, it's incredible. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that we're using aftermarket forged parts that we have to outsource to use in there. They're not made by Ruger.
Right.
Now we're not only dependent upon Ruger supply, but also these other smaller companies that we're getting the parts from. So I'm like you, I'm thinking, man, I'm sure glad we could pull this thing off.
Right. My only concern is, and maybe it shouldn't be a concern, excuse me, when you have an open holster, knocking around that front sight, being a Novak sight, isn't that a concern? Or a tritium sight of any sort?
Well, I mean, it could be. I haven't experienced it to where I'm banging into stuff with it, because it's right next to your hip.
Okay, so you're carrying it straight at the hip?
I carry it about 330 position, yeah.
Okay.
I carry mine at 327.
That's a great caliber.
But I used to, but my watch ran fast, so I put it at 330.
So, smart Alex.
Yeah, I guess if you're used to just walking into walls and bumping into things the way Jim does, you might not want to have it out there.
So. Yeah, but not so much the few times I've been sober.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, for anybody that carries it more toward the front. Or right on the side.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think a Yaki slide would actually work as an appendix carry, because when you sit down, I think you're going to end up pushing that muzzle. It's going to slide right up in the holster.
Right.
So I think that probably precludes it. Here's the other question. Can you... 1911 is a little bigger. Well, it's not really any bigger. I'm thinking of like a Glock 19. It's probably no longer in... barrel than a 19, and people appendix carry that, so it'd probably work with the right holster.
Just depends on your build.
Yeah,
I mean, really,
it really does, doesn't it?
With an Adonis figure like this over here.
Yeah,
it could be a problem if you're short coupled. If you got kind of a short torso, it could be an issue.
Yep.
So, got that. And it's always fun when people say, "Well, you need to be appendix carrying." Well, that's good for you, and you like that. But if it doesn't work for me, then I think I'll go a different way.
Right. Yeah, there's guys that swear by shoulder holsters, and I go, ugh.
Yeah, no, don't much like that. Not my thing, but then again, I don't have that Don Johnson look.
I was going to say, come on, Miami Vice, let's go.
I know.
Get out the pink sports coat.
Didn't they at one point on Miami Vice, wasn't one of them was carrying a Bren 10 millimeter?
Oh, I don't know.
There's a bit of trivia for you.
I think so. All right, somebody go. We had to Google this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Miami Vice Bren 10. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Bren 10. Oh, there is a Bren10.org group.
Ah.
Bren 10 pistol, the famous Miami Vice gun.
Oh, there you go.
Is that Don Johnson's or his partner's?
I think it was Don Johnson. Yeah.
Sure.
Cool. Sure was. So I don't know how far back that is. Oh, it was like 1983. This was way back. So there you go.
That was, yeah.
10 millimeter. It was good then. It's better now because, frankly, the ammo's better now.
Hey, when did the FBI switch over to 10, then to 40?
Ooh, I'd have to go back and look. It was after the Miami shootout where the FBI got its butt kicked.
Right. That's what I was asking what year that might have been.
90 somewhere.
Let's see.
So 10s were out prior to that, then, if he's carrying one in the movie.
Yes. Yes, they were. They were out before that. Miami FBI shootout. Let's see. 1986.
Okay. So three years prior to that, he was carrying one on the show. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. The 10 was out, and Jeff Cooper, as I say, was kind of the brain behind it. I'm not sure that he actually designed it, but I think he kind of came up with the idea.
See, I had the history wrong. I thought it was invented because of the lack of firepower the FBI had, so they had to come up with something better.
Right. No, it was around. It's just they just decided to go with that.
Gotcha.
Because they said to Art, once again, saying it was the firepower that was the problem, when in fact it wasn't, really. Platt and Maddox, the two bad guys, were just very good. They practiced shooting all the time. Mm-hmm. And they were determined, not to be taken, and they just shot up these agents something fierce. It was pretty terrible. Mm-hmm. And only through unbelievable raw courage did Ed Morales, the FBI agent, ending the whole thing, although he was shot up.
Right.
It's an amazing story. But yes, the FBI went to the 10 and then figured out that some of their smaller statured agents, i.e. a lot of the women with smaller hands, couldn't get their hands around, a great big 10 millimeter. I think they were using the Glock 20, if I remember right.
Hmm.
And it's a big gun. I don't even like the Glock 20. It's a huge gun.
Yes.
Yeah. It is. So, I can't get my hand around it. So it's not a knock on women in smaller hands. It's just a big old honking gun.
That's probably why Nugent likes it, because his hands are huge.
Yeah, that's a good point. Big old long fingered guitar player,
Yep, yep.
But, and it has more kick. But I think it's not so much the kick as if you can't get a hold of it, if you're having to kind of rotate your hand around the grip to be able to get your finger on the trigger.
Right.
Yeah. Now the recoil is not going back into the V of your hand. It's actually going against your thumb.
Right.
Anyway, okay, this is not fun. We're not going to be able to shoot that well. So they ended up going with the 10 millimeter light, a.k.a. the 40 S&W, which is a good round, in itself.
Short and wimpy.
That's yeah, I know. It's fun to say that, but, it's actually a really good round.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's funny, I was talking with a sheriff's deputy this week. When you go into the DMV here, you got to go into the courthouse. You got to go through the metal detector. And there's this young sheriff's deputy there. And he's got his Glock, his three mags and everything. And we're talking and we're killing time because I can't go in yet. So before you know it, we're talking about different pistols. He's carrying a 40 because they issue that. But he said, I really like the 9s. And I said, the 40's good. He says, yeah. He says, but with the 9s, he says, I'm getting like, 0.15 splits on my shooting. I'm thinking, okay, this guy's a real shooter. If he's talking about his splits and everything else. And so, as you can imagine, at this point, it's like, we're off to the races. We're talking guns for like the next 20 minutes in there.
And the people behind you are like, come on, move it. You could have gone in 20 minutes ago.
I don't care.
Like, go around me. It's all right.
We're doing in-person gun talk right here.
Remote.
It was kind of fun.
Shooting it's cool.
And I was in there the week before talking to another deputy, and he was talking about leaving a gun in his car. And I said, are you familiar with the console vault? We've worked with these guys before, and the little vault goes inside of the center console of your truck and all. And so he's looking it up online and all. And he goes, that looks good. That's like 12-gauge steel. That would. So we're just doing another gun talk session right there.
See, you just need to start video recording these and do playbacks.
Tom's going to be on remote this week from the Sheriff's Department again.
That's right.
Sounds like twice. Scratching my head over here.
Yeah, well.
Some guys want their one phone call. Tom wants to talk guns.
There you go. So, meanwhile, we're going to go to Antonia on line 4. Still not there.
Nope.
I don't know. Yeah. Snooze lose. Yeah. Maybe he'll call in another time to give us his range report. But so that's okay because I loved Kathleen's call.
Yes. That's great.
That was such a surprise. So at first you're thinking, you know, I don't know what we got here. And then when she says she has permits, carry permits in 4 different states, you're going, huh, something's going on here.
Well, everybody was rushing out when the whole Utah license came through because they're like, oh, well, it'll take care of the reciprocity of everything else. If you're a resident.
If you're a resident. And, but a lot of states will not honor a Utah or any other permit if you're not a resident of that state.
And it's just the amount of training or lack of training needed to carry.
Yep, just exactly so right.
Know. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, all right, guys. Well, if you will, Michelle, try to go shoot that pistol a little bit.
Okay. I'll have to get some ammo. That's what I'm waiting on.
There's some on my kitchen table. I have a feeling it won't be there.
Oh,
she leaves the studio.
Sounds like there's only 5 rounds.
So you do the whole distraction thing. You go, what's that over there? And you grab up his ammo and take off.
She's in the break room. I thought she was making coffee. She was stealing my ammo.
Make a break.
And then all of a sudden, Jim's sitting there, all of a sudden hears, bang, bang, bang. You do have a shooting range right next to the studio, you know.
Yes.
You could just run down there and shoot during the break and come back. Oh, sorry about your ammo, man.
Yeah. I slipped. It was a nervous twitch.
That's right. Oh, boy.
Righty.
Well, you guys have a good week, and I just would encourage anybody. We're kind of at the point now, I don't know how long it's going to take to sell these things out, but if somebody's interested, I wouldn't put it off real long. You just never know when we're going to hit that number. So,
yeah, and it's a lot of guns for the money.
It is. I mean, it really is. But if you're interested, you know, do it. And I get it. A lot of people say it's not for me for any number of reasons. Although, if you really want to have fun, guys, go online and search for the GT25 and look at the comments from people who've never seen it.
Yeah.
And you've got the internet know-it-alls who are telling you all the things that are wrong with it.
Yeah. I never touched it, but it sucks.
That's right. And you just keep reading, keep chuckling and going, really? You really don't know anything about this, do you?
Well,
I have to really resist the urge to say something. You know, just nope, just let it go.
Well, it go. I would venture to say that they probably don't know a lot about a lot of things.
Not just
the GT25.
That's possible. You mean there are people talking about guns on the internet who are not experts?
I've heard. I don't get on the interweb.
Strange how that works there. All righty. Well, Michelle, I think you should call some more people today and hang up on them.
Jeez.
But only the ones who hang up on you first. So, there you go.
Oh, gosh.
That was really so much fun. We're going to give Joel a hard time about that every time we get him back on.
It was perfect timing.
It really was. It was like you couldn't have made it up any better.
Right.
Great.
I can't even hang up on Antonio, even though he's not there now.
Yeah, what's the point?
Oh, no.
You're just mean. You know that. You're just mean.
Yeah, I know. She is. She's rotten.
Yeah, well, there you go. You guys have a great week.
Well, take care.
Stay safe.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up another Gun Talk After Show. But if you want even more gun-related stuff, don't forget to check out Gundealio. It's the app for Apple and Android phones that connects you to all the Gun Talk shows, plus even more. And we'll catch you next time for the Gun Talk After Show.